Forest Avengers Follow the White Rabbit is a podcast dedicated to practical politics. Practical politics is, of course, called practical politics because it is all non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is always rule-based politics, every 2 years, every 4 years. It's basically what you do at the voting booth. And then there is full-spectrum practical politics, or engaging and taking down an opponent by any means necessary, using the rules but never breaking the rules. But to do anything, we have to start with practical politics, and in this case, it's the art of staying on message. It's having a consistent message. And our consistent message is the mantra, or white rabbit genocide, you see on this front page. And we will also, in this podcast, engage in the geopolitical. We will talk about geopolitical events. We will talk about things from a unique white rabbit perspective. We will also go into white rabbit psychology and ecology and talk about everything you'd want to know about the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. And this is, again, the Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. I'm going to cruise over some news events, and then we're going to talk about this war that the little Jew rabbits are starting over there in Israel. Many have speculated, why would the Jew rabbits do something so stupid as to provoke an attack like that, or to board a ship? And they're talking about, you know, the Jew rabbits put out all kinds of propaganda, the Israelis, that the SEAL team, this I guess that's what they compared it to, one of our Navy SEALs teams, went in there on that humanitarian aid boat and killed a bunch of people. And they acted like this was done accidentally or a stupid move, when in fact it was very intentional. And they've been ordered into war. It's kind of like against Lebanon. If you got to start a war, you got to start a war. And they're picking a fight. They're picking a fight. So it wasn't accidental. It wasn't a screw up. In fact, I don't even think they sent in their their top commandos. Whoever landed on that boat was an amateur. They probably sent in some kids to start a war. Did not look professional. The rumors and the innuendo and all the different you know, there are two sides. There's the Arab side that's putting out their own, that has their own propaganda, and then there's the Israeli side, which has their own propaganda as well. And one thing becomes clear is that the truth is very hard to ascertain exactly what happened, but it was no accident. They knew exactly what they were going in there for, and they achieved their objective to some extent. In other words, the war looks like what you see is what you get war as officially started over there. They picked the fight. And this is right ahead of schedule for everything going on with all the stuff arriving in the Gulf. There's a whole network of Patriot Defense Systems, PAC-3, that's been established in UAE, Qatar, Kuwait, Bahrain, and Saudi Arabia. These systems are basically linked to a control center in Israel. And at least four, and they're fully operational as of right now, it is my belief. They definitely will be by July 1st. There's four upgraded Ticonderoga-class cruisers equipped with the Aegis ballistic missiles defense system, so one that can knock down satellites and all kinds of interesting stuff. They will be stationed in the Gulf region by early July 2010, which of course is next month. And July 2010 is also the month when the 10th Fleet of the U.S. Navy will be reestablished. And these are, the 10th Fleet is typically doing with information type warfare. And the 10th Fleet, let's go over what the 10th Fleet covers. The 10th Fleet, let's see, it's a formally anti-submarine command. The 10th Fleet has basically been resurrected as a Navy cyber warfare, a Navy command 10th Fleet, a naval component of the DoD Cyber Command. Its charter can be summed up as information dominance. And it's they're going to focus on managing and protecting the warfighting capabilities on the defense information technological networks, and wage a war of disinformation and airwave jamming, fake TV signals, fake radio transmissions, fake websites, fear and panic. You know, they're going to be spreading fear and panic in target countries. is what they generally do. It comprises 44,000 IT specialists, of which 24,000 will be available by July. And so it's like a floating, they got all this stuff being delivered by July. It's been rumored that the F-35 Lightning II, the fifth generation jets, would be on those carriers in July. There's Virginia class submarines cruising in there in July. Let's see what else we have here. It's just a tremendous amount of stuff. The Super Bunker Buster. The gigantic, the new generation super bomb, 10 times more powerful than that big daisy cutter. Guess when that's getting delivered? Yeah, it's supposed to be available by July 4th. Sometime in early July, the small diameter bomb, which I don't even fully understand. They got all these bombs. I have no idea what they're for other than killing a lot of things. Guess when that's going to be available? Yeah, they got July. July, 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 July. Now, does that mean it's in July? No. But it could be. It could be. I have no idea. I'm just passing on this information. If you do your homework, you're going to find out that all this stuff shows up in July. It's definitely started showing up in July. A lot of it's been a long time in the planning. You don't plan for something like this overnight. And so let's cruise on through here and some more things, some more different news events. But basically, they're going to war. And I'll tell you what that means for our struggle, at least from my perspective, later on. But it's going to be disastrous for them, and that'll be kind of obvious at the war and shortly thereafter. But the war is shaping up to being a lot bigger. The what you see is what you get. Intelligence networks, the Strat4s, are talking about all these different crazy terrorist type that have been let into America, like the Somali diaspora, and all these different types that are coming across the border from Mexico, and they've arrested several of them, but several of them got into the country, and who knows what they would do if America attacked Iran. I have no idea, other than, of course, crazy, capital C-R-A-Z-Y. But the red states, as well as many of the blue staters, are armed to the teeth in America, so we'll take it day by day. And who knows what's in Europe too? Let's not forget that. And then you got the Sky News HD. America secretly plans for war with Iran. There's nothing really new here, other than the Jew rabbits have picked themselves a fight. And they picked themselves a fight, and it was intentional. It looks like a big screw-up or something. It looks like a public relations debacle. But true information isn't going to mean anything to the Arabs. The Arabs already have their mind made up. The Arab media has their mind made up. The Jews can do nothing about that. The Israelis can do nothing about that. The Anglo elites can do nothing about that. They cannot control information. They cannot control the media. And it would take another 15 years to redo that if you controlled all the madrasas and all the Arab networks. That's not possible. They have failed. Yes, our enemy has basically failed its basic mission of rearranging Islam. And now it decides to go to war. And, of course, to go to war, you've got to either start a war on some level, and that's what they're doing, in my opinion. You know, they didn't send in crack commandos. They didn't look like crack commandos. They looked like a bunch of bad Coast Guards. They didn't look all that hot shot to me. If those are Israeli top commandos, which I don't believe, I believe they were just a bunch of kids, they're going to have a lot of trouble on their hands. And, of course, the Arab cartoonists, would give Goebbels a run for his money. They're like nothing I've ever seen. I always go to the ADL website every time there's a big incident like that in the Middle East, because I want to see all the cool anti-Semitic cartoons that come out of the Arab world, and some of them are outrageous, are clever, and ingenious. The one that made the ADL website shortly after this from Al-Watan in Qatar, and this was from June 2nd, has a Jew sitting on top of the water, and he's wearing black garb, and he has a machine gun in one hand and a big culinary axe in another, a big culinary hatchet in another, and he has a black top hat on, and he has a big, huge nose with a big bushy beard and long hair, and he has a black hat with a Zionist, the Star of David. Star David on his black hat. But underneath the water, he's floating on the water, underneath the water has all these long tentacles. And it's pretty wild. It's a pretty good cartoon. And that's the type of cartoons the Arabs put out, because they control their own media. and there's nothing you can do about that. It's a lost cause. Trying to change them is a lost cause. Many have said that the Jews got cut a bad deal in that. Well, you know, you don't have to jump on a boat and kill a bunch of people. You could easily wait at the coastline and to and inspect a bunch of cargo. Obviously, if they're bringing a bomb in and if they're blowing up a ship at the shoreline, well, that's not going to really hurt any Jews unless they're in the area. It's just going to kill a bunch of peace activists online. I just don't see what the motive was for going on there and searching it the way they searched. What they're trying to do is control their area, and they said, no, we're going to take, you know, the Palestinian, the ones that wanted to help Palestine, the Freedom Flotilla, or whatever they call themselves, they wanted to take the stuff on shore. And the Jews wanted to do it for them, say, you know, we'll truck everything in. Well, they didn't really trust them, and so that's where you end up in this huge international incident with a lot of people dead, with 9 or 10 people dead. But the Jews were looking to pick a fight, the people that run Israel. And the only one that made any sense from a political standpoint was the one that said there was someone at the table when they made a decision to start searching these Freedom Flotillas, someone at the top of the Netanyahu government, told them that why waste our time? I mean, what are the odds of them carting in a big missile underneath our noses without us seeing it? And if it is too late, okay, they'll blow themselves up. But that's the one that made sense. But they weren't going for it because they have another agenda. Yeah, they're not interested in peace because there's no such thing. There's no such thing in their eyes. They got to go at it. And what this means long term, I'll get into it. In a bit here. Editor's notes, only a drill. This is an interesting article in Jerusalem Post, and it basically talks about they're doing all these training, these drills in Israel for incoming missiles and everything else. And they said this is not just a drill. This guy said, It's basically talking about all the new sophisticated alarm systems attached to cell phones, you know, and everything else. And that it wouldn't be just south or just north that comes under missile fire. The heartland of Israel could face salvos of unprecedented intensities, and they will. The impact of a single missile in Tel Aviv, it is recognized, would be comparable psychologically and practical to 30 missile strikes in a less densely populated north or south. And basically what they're saying is these aren't just drills we're having, we're actually going to war here. And the telegraph.co.uk, big London operation, London newspaper website. Israelis must escalate the propaganda war. Israel needs a more subtle approach to its foes. Well, the Jew rabbits really don't operate like that. They're might is righter, and you can't really operate in the planet like that. And not run into the problems they're running into. If you go around the world wanting to fight the world, eventually the world's going to take you up on it. Let's see here. What was I asked about this? Well, this is a great example of the type of information the Arabs are getting every day, besides the great anti-Semitic cartoons that would make Goebbels proud. I mean, Goebbels has nothing on some of these Arab cartoonists. They're like nothing anyone's ever seen. Mossad does interrogations in Iraqi jails, human rights groups claim. Now, this is from, this is actually coming out of China. The English news service out of China, xinhuanet.com. And this is the type of Arab Organization for Human Rights, AOHR, said on Saturday that Israel's intelligence agency Mossad is interrogating Arab prisoners in Iraqi jails. And this is stuff they get all day and all night long. I received calls from Jordanian prisoners in Iraqi jails, and they informed us that Mossad is interrogating them and other Arab prisoners in jails in Iraq, and I believe it. What's funny about this, the Arab Organization for Human Rights. Can you imagine having a white rabbit organization for rabbit rights? And we don't get no rights. Yeah, everyone's got their own human rights organization. The Jews do, the Arabs do, even the Arabs do. I didn't know that. The Arabs got all these special human rights organizations. Everyone does, but no white rabbits. Yeah, all our technology is getting ready to probably blow up that whole part of the world, but yet we don't even have a human rights organization. It's pathetic. But the Arabs are under intense propaganda and have been their whole entire lives, and that ain't changing. And basically, Israel has nothing to lose by starting problems. That's the point I'm making to you, that they have nothing to lose. They have nothing to they can gain. I guess you could say they go to war and they could gain something. They're not going to gain anything from this. And I believe most of their elites know that. Yeah, but the average Jew rabbit has been sold out at the last minute. It became clear to me coming into late last fall, that something had changed. I don't know what became clear, but something became clear. When this recording first started getting going, I thought there was maybe a 60 to 80% chance of war, or they could let America collapse, which it's doing. The whole world's collapsing. But World War III is on the agenda. And someone capitulated, something happened. But this isn't good. This isn't good for the white rabbit genocide crowd. This is the begin. That is the beginning of the end. Let's see. Israel stations nuclear subs off Iran, and Israel has all these little nuclear subs, these little mini subs, and these subs are only good for 600 feet. I guess some of them can go up to 1,150 feet, and they have a pretty good range on missiles, cruise missiles with nuclear tips. I've been asked if I'm concerned about those hitting us or Israel. Well, I'm not personally, but I'm guessing some others would be, and they would have it well plotted out. You know, the Jews are allowed to run their mouth. The Jew rabbits are allowed to run their mouth and say whatever they want to say. But in reality, the pink rabbit banksters and elitesters run their tune. And in the next one, in the next file of White Rabbit, I'm going to actually go into what's come out on them just recently on how they came into Europe. Which is interesting. Remember, everything on this show goes back to two questions I have about the Jew rabbits, Babylon and Egypt. And it has nothing to do with the modern-day Jews or your local rabbi necessarily, but basically they're control groups. And I'm going to go into that. But nothing's going to go... In other words, even if they were just... Or how can I answer this? I guess I could pump you guys up full of fear and tell you the end of the world's coming, the end of the world for white rabbits, but I don't believe it. And when you don't believe something, it comes out that way. I guess I could tell you I'm terrified of the Israel nukes going off, and maybe they're crazy enough to plant dirty bombs somewhere. But they're not that insane. They have a leadership that isn't that insane, and there's more to them than meets the eye, in my opinion. They could fire something at Europe or do something insane. Sure, but they got enough. They tend to have problems focusing on more than one enemy at a time. Once they focus on one enemy, they have to go to war with them. But this is the main reason I'm not really concerned, is because someone would be way ahead of me in being concerned about that. And this is from Wired Magazine, as reported by CNN Tech. That's CNN.com Tech. Navy's drone death ray takes out targets. And this is from Wired Magazine. This is June 3rd. And what it is good old Nazi technology. And the forefront of the laser technology would be Russia, because the forefront of the Nazis in these type of death ray technology. It's funny that in the Wired magazine they actually used the Nazi terminology for it, death rays. And this patent goes back to the 60s, according to Dr. Farrell, the IG Farbens, and the different. There was a different chemical company, another chemical giant out of Germany that helped develop some of the first lasers. But this is what it says. Navy's drone death ray takes out targets. For years, the U.S. Navy has been pursuing a workable ray gun that could provide a leap ahead in ship self-defenses. Now, with a series of tests of a system called Laser Weapon System, or LAWS, it may be one step closer to that goal. Navy Sea Command's the service's technology arm announced today that the LAWS had successfully tracked, engaged, and destroyed a drone in flight during an over-the-water engagement in San Nicolas Island, California. And they talk about this shooting down everything in sight, almost like a missile command. A missile command would be the video game where you just shoot lasers and bring down things. Or actually, I think missile command was shooting down missiles and bringing down things. Or was it using lasers to bring down missiles? I don't know. But what you get into is a video game type thing, where they're going to have lasers mounted at different things. By the time something like this reaches Wired Magazine, by the time the Navy comes out that they're testing something like this, usually they have it out there. That's the way white rabbits operate. They're not going to show you something that's not in their advanced stage or already done. And Russia most certainly has has it. And if Russia has it, that means Germany has it. Because basically Germany considers most of U.S. military technology to be Germanic. That's the way they operate. So what I'm trying to tell you is I could sit here and pump you full of fear. But if there's a problem, and that would be someone concerned about, there's going to be a problem and of the Jew rabbits, you know, trying to hit someone with a nuke that's not part of the program, like trying to fire them back at Europe or something. There's going to be a reaction, a solution to that, plotted long, long ago. Because someone out there has a superior technology, and they're going to be light years ahead of anything the little Jew rabbits have. I'd be much more concerned about next generation scalar technology, or certain associates of the Anglo elites, especially the Jew rabbits. And the Jew rabbits, of course, are always out front, always carrying out their dirty work. I would be much more concerned about them firing something scalar than I would anything what we think of as nukes or some nuclear-tipped cruise missile. But it has come to others' attention that the reason you might have so many Navy fleets there, and the reason you might have the Russians on patrol, especially in the South China Seas, is in case someone does try to do something stupid like that. I don't know, but I know the type of information coming out on the type of weapon systems that they have right now workable, that they're going to have something like that out there just in case. So other than that, you can't do anything about someone trying something crazy, but someone's already plotted that and already figured it out. They're going to have enough work to do. And those submarines are not difficult to get to. The submarines they have are fantastic. They're not nuclear power submarines. They're itty bitty deals, but they're fantastic for what they are. But they're not they're nothing that could pose a long term threat. Nothing at all. They'd get taken out very, very quickly. Let's see here. So that's basically the war shaping up. And in my opinion, for what you see is what you get standards, it's pretty much started. They're picking fights, and they're going to keep escalating it because there's no reason not to. Iran is not backing down from nuclear ambitions if they don't already have nukes. The Arabs are not backing down. They don't really care about dying. There's no reason to keep this prolonging and allow this to go. So they're going with the World War III option. And they will start it. Yeah, that's what they do. Their job is to be out instigating. And China, of course, there's big tensions in the Korean Peninsula, to say the least. North Korea has, of course, went at it as well. North Korea, of course, is fired a torpedo and took out a South Korea ship. Now there's the Chinese are saying it wasn't North Korea, that someone's playing a game here, trying to make the whole entire the Korean Peninsula go off. And of course, if the Korean Peninsula goes up, it's going to expose that China doesn't have the type of power you think it has, and it causes a big problem for the future of China. Is someone doing a big problem reaction solution? I don't know. It's difficult to read right now. There's so many different cross currents and so much propaganda out there, other than there's going to be a huge, huge war, and it is looking to be bigger by the day. And Pakistan could go up the same time, but this North Korean tensions has a lot of people scratching their heads. Who did what? Who did where? How did things really come about? Is someone setting someone up? And of course, the Russians are cruising over there with one of their big carriers. They're sending their biggest warships for drills in the Far East. Now, I don't know whether that's good or bad. It's most likely not good for us, but they could back us up. There's a lot of stuff going on between Russia and America behind the scenes. It is just a difficult read. What some are saying is that having the Korean Peninsula go up doesn't really bother Japan, as long as no one hits Japan with anything. It generally takes out all their enemies. And we have to remember that there are two sides to East Asia. There's one that would be that does business with the Pink Rabbits. They consider themselves Pink Rabbits. The other, they're basically pro-white genocide. The other side is basically in it to win it. And what we're seeing here is the North Koreans triggering something, or someone triggering something. The Chinese are laying the blame on the Anglo-American elite, saying they're out causing problems in the Korean peninsula. And I don't really know what they mean by that. I don't know how this will eventually be written. But one thing is clear, that the Chinese have themselves a non-private central bank. They have a public central bank. And in the next file, The White Rabbit, I'm going to go back into that. And I'll talk about that more in a little bit. But we have things shaping up across the world right in front of everyone's faces, that there's going to be a war, and it looks to be a big war. When it starts, I don't know, but July becomes a big date. And everything on this planet, of course, is falling to pieces. Those Mayan counts look more realistic by the hour. I was always told that once it comes into 2007, late 2007, 2008, there's nothing you can do on this planet if you don't have your new world order. The whole thing's coming apart, and that appears to be pretty legitimate. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong, and of course you have the Washington Post article: China tries to balance fallout of Korean tensions. And it goes over rising tensions in North Korea alleged over the sinking of a South Korean warship. And of course, are providing an unwelcome reality check for North Korea's chief ally, China. And they are. I mean, it's right on their doorstep. What it all means, how to go about, how it comes about, I don't really know. I just don't know. The trend is in place. The trend is in place and escalating, and the Russians are coming in there. I don't know whose side they're coming there on. Probably nothing good for the Anglo-American elite, and that has to do with our soldiers. That has to do with us indirectly. Someone's on the eve of getting taken down totally. Thank goodness, you know, this isn't on our doorstep. Pakistan, some say that Pakistan is going to go up too. We also have the Turks involved now. The Turks were Israel's biggest ally, but there's a lot of different movements in Turkey. The different cross currents, and now Turkey wants to go at it with Israel as well. And who knows how this is going to end up other than war. Of course, last fall, we had, as we come into the financial crisis, we have the Chinese making overtures that they didn't like certain elements of, they didn't like getting getting paid in a currency that they don't consider a true currency. And in the next one, we'll go back over this, but they have laid down the gauntlet. The challenge for the Chinese in laying down the gauntlet is that the Chinese don't have power to really do that. So they would have to be totally at the mercy of other elements on their team. And, of course, there is one element in China, one element in Korea that work with the Japanese. And who knows? For all I know, they could be setting up the whole thing to go down. I don't know. But it would only be bad for the Japanese if someone hit Japan with a missile. But if the Korean Peninsula goes up, if all China goes up, that's not bad for Japan at all. It's not good for the world, but that's pretty much geopolitics in a nutshell. But coming into last fall, you had that rumblings against Anglo banking. Many of you heard this: the blonde-haired, blue-eyed bankers and the banksters, and most of the third world's ticked off at them for good reason. Most of them don't like the Federal Reserve System. The Chinese have made clear that they don't like being paid in a false currency, in a fake currency, and we're going to go more into this in the next one. I'm going to go back over that. But coming into last fall, we also had big news events out of Russia, where Dmitry Medvedev meet with the infamous Maxim Kolesnikov, which is of course a fake name. He's thought to be a KGB, an old KGB operative. He's a blogger and a provocative political figure in the fringes of Russian politics. But when they get together and they talk about Russia's future and how Russia has a golden opportunity with the with the collapse of Anglosphere, and that they can, basically what he's saying is there's a golden opportunity in regards to grabbing most of the white rabbits on the planet. When someone like that walks into, that is known as a fascist, walks in and meets with Dmitry Medvedev, it doesn't matter how the meeting came about, but the fact that he was there and other elements like him have been there, and the fact that something like that comes out on Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, that's going to make the headlines to, that reads like the grapes of wrath to our enemy. Our enemy doesn't want to read that. Someone's had their back put to the wall and they've had to make a decision, and their decision looks to be they're going to war. And of course you have the financial crisis, which is going on all over the planet, has brought all kinds of opportunity. And the financialtimes.com, you have, the financial crisis all over the world is bringing Europe and Russia closer together. See, it creates a problem, gets reaction, there's a solution. Europe and Russia get closer in the equation. But basically once the war starts, I don't know how crazy it's going to be other than crazy. I don't know how big it's going to be other than big. I don't know when other than from the looks of it, from the sounds of it, very, very soon. It's starting to come at us at Mach 3. And we also have several different, one of the biggest environmental disasters anyone's ever seen, and that's the oil spill that keeps spilling. It's a disaster that keeps on going. It's like biblical, where it's like that biblical part in Revelations, in the book of Revelations, where the water turns red with death, and that's, it seems almost biblical in proportions. And I've been asked, do I think someone's going to use that as a big problem reaction solution? My guess is yes, but not in the way most of us think. It hasn't been a big problem reaction solution for the environmental groups. They're not out harping anywhere near what they should be. You know what I mean. They did their usual let's shut down offshore drilling, but you see there's two sides competing to bring out the next generation technology, and one side is on its deathbed. I've talked about this before. The pink rabbit banksters and elitesters and the Jew rabbits, they don't have the type of power most people think. Most of their power is based on money, and they're bankrupt. They don't have their new world order. They had to have it years ago. They don't have it. They had a good partner. Their partners are withdrawn from them. Now they're going to war. They're going to they're basically going to their suicide. But they're competing for next generation technology. They're competing for new energy. Who's going to roll out the new age? Who's going to roll out the next generation technology? All the different physics I've went into. And so this would be a good opportunity for someone to step up after a big war or big disaster and start rolling that out. In other words, a basic problem. You have a problem. Hydrocarbons and these fossil fuels give us problems. There'll be there's a natural reaction, and there's going to be a solution. Someone will insert their next generation technology or use this as a springboard to roll out their next generation technology. I've been asked, do I think the Jew rabbits are going to do something crazy with that, or who you think of as the Jew rabbits, the pink rabbit banksters and leasters. I don't know which side will, but someone's going to use this as a problem. This creates a perfect opportunity for them to use as a springboard to roll out their next generation technology. But typically that side has invested in the wrong physics. Their physics doesn't hold up against their enemy's physics. Their physics doesn't hold up against what the Germans have come out with. And of course we winter that whole story, and I don't know the past well enough to tell you the future. I don't. And we're going to go into more of that when I go into question and answers here in a bit. But there's been a disaster, and I've been asked a direct question. Do I think our enemy's going to use it as someone's going to use this big oil spill as a big problem reaction solution. And they're going to use it as a springboard to bring out their next generation technology. I'm guessing. Now, who it is, there's only two sides of this equation left. And I'll talk about this more in the question and answers. I'll go back over and stuff some of this stuff a little bit more. But generally, it would surprise me if someone didn't use it. It's surprised me that someone didn't use it more as of right now. So I'm guessing someone's going to use it for something. And there's only two sides, and there's one side that I'm interested in, but not necessarily it's going to be used by your enemy. Yeah, there's two sides of this equation, and And we'll get, I'll talk about more of this in a little bit, but right now we're going to go on a big events going on in North America. And I'm going to talk about how our struggle is shaping up. The biggest challenge for the indigenous white rabbits of Europe is we tend to obey the law. We are extremely law-abiding, and most other people just take advantage of the laws. We know how the laws work, and others know how to work the laws. Well, a situation has come up, and it's a pretty entertaining one, in North America, in regards to immigration. The federal government has all these laws on the books regarding immigration, but they won't force them. And this drives white rabbits crazy. So independent states have been passing their own immigration enforcement act. Now, only in a white country would you have to pass a law enforcing immigration, making it illegal for immigration that's already illegal. But they're passing laws to enforce the federal law to basically enforce the law on their own. And in Arizona, Governor Jan Brewer has done this and caused a huge storm. And typically when something like this happens in the past, in anywhere in Western civilization, but especially America, that creates a problem which gets a reaction from the federal government. They yell racism and have a bunch of a bunch of lawsuits, and then there's a solution. The solution is more pro-white genocide policies. However, this hasn't went so well. What has happened is, a great deal of that programming has wore off for reasons that we've went into the show a thousand different times, a thousand different ways. But they're no longer demoralized, and now they're becoming more and more angry. So as the federal government, which is already impotent, the reason the federal government has survived this long in America is because the white rabbits obey the law. Yeah, the federal government is impotent. So this impotent federal government steps in and tries to crack down on Arizona, and it doesn't work. And now it spreads like wildfire. And so you have anywhere from somewhere about half the states in the union either are looking to pass an Arizona immigration act so they can enforce federal law, basically, or either the states are going to do it directly, or there's another way to go about it. Several different counties or cities on their own can pass those laws and enforce them on themselves. You don't have to have it statewide. In other words, if you're in a county in Ohio, you like that Arizona immigration crackdown, you can do that yourself in your own county and enforce the federal law. And there's nothing the federal government can do really about it. They tried cracking down in Arizona. It spreads like wildfire. I find this entertaining because what's happening is the white rabbit's natural ability to obey the law is actually working out to their advantage on some level, at least subconsciously or psychologically. And they, of course, most sit around and says it has nothing to do with race. It does. It does, and we'd make it racial whether they like it or not. And this has become a big problem, reaction, solution for the federal government that hasn't worked out. The reaction has been a lot broader than they think, and the solution is a lot broader than they think, and it all goes toward this immigration stuff. And there's also another incentive. Most of these governors are going bankrupt. Most of the world is bankrupt, and America, state by state, is going bankrupt. And this has become funny, and of course, Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, I don't know what she's about, but I have a feeling she's something that she's going to play an interesting role in the future. You know, a lot of these, there's a tremendous number of games going on in Western civilization between what I will call the two sides. And one side you're very well aware of. Their side is headed by the Jew rabbits by and large and white traders or what I call the pink rabbits as a whole. And a lot of people don't, a lot of the white racial elements, they don't like that I just call them pink rabbits because they think they're all just Jews. Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that, and I'd be dishonest to say otherwise. Or that's my belief at least. And of course, the other side of the equation is playing a lot of games. And I was asked directly, when does this all come into play? Well, it's coming into play right now as far as a consistent message and everything else. There's whole areas of Arizona where one person in every area code will be on a consistent message, and it does affect the whole entire structure. But I'll come back to this in a second, but let me read some headlines, because now Ohio, OSU, the Ohio State University, to hold a forum about adoption of Arizona immigration law. Ohio, even Ohio wants to adopt a law. We have the St. Charles County Council endorses immigration law. You see, this is the actual council, which is in St. Louis. I'm sorry, is this St. Louis, or where is this at? It's Missouri. Yes, it's Missouri. And in Missouri, they're looking, but this is a small example of what's going on in America. There's literally at least half the states in the union or more, and every day it's another council, it's another city, or another state. We'll take it any way we can get it. But, you know, this all goes to the question of when does this stuff pick up? On Bob's Underground Seminar, I gave Bob a small progress report on what type of downloads we were getting this month. And for the month of May, it was a record month, and I sent it to him at the beginning of the month because it looked like it was going to be a record month. And there was it was double the amount that I wrote by the end of the month, it was double the amount. And the downloads are coming far and wide, and of course it builds like a geometric progression. But sooner or later, there's a top-down interaction. And that typically happens. It doesn't matter whether you study the wall in Germany, the German wall. After Ronald Reagan gave that speech, you know, bring down that wall, and the wall in Eastern and Western Germany came down, and they had the big struggle for that, and they went on a consistent message, and then politicians started repeating that consistent message, or different political figures already in visual positions of power. And that's typically how it happens top down. Already it's people have been at different functions and whatnot, and different white rabbit talking points have been used, or phraseology has been used, and then they look around and find each other. That has already happened, but when it really starts happening is when someone like a Jan Brewer comes out on a consistent message. Out of nowhere just uses the mantra, or out of nowhere uses something, and everyone in the crowd, it sounds cute, it sounds cliche, it sounds kind of interesting, it sounds like something new, but most of the planet misses it except those that are in on it. And that's how it works. When the Berlin Wall came down, you know, most of them were unaware of the consistent message that had been out there. And then someone in power uses it, or someone coming to power uses it, and the next thing you know, a whole group that have been on the message from day one, who are kind of have an inside look at the scenario, look at the issue, they all hear that consistent message, and they all get together over it. It's kind of funny to watch, and it can take many different forms. But that's typically what happens in the next stage, is there's a top-down interaction. In any type of scenario you would look at, we can go over and over that, even when you come into the Rose Revolutions in Georgia and all that kind of stuff, that is most of its knockoff revolutions, but it happens the same way. There's a consistent message, and then it goes top-down. And it's kind of funny when it goes top down. If Jan Brewer came out at one of these Arizona rallies, where you will have a handful—that's all it takes—is a handful of Follow the White Rabbit listeners in any given state, and you'll have a handful of them, maybe one or two of them there. Then all of a sudden they'll look at each other, and maybe they all are using the consistent message at that particular event. Then they'll look at each other and start laughing. No one in the place will know it except those that have heard this recording. And that's how this stuff operates. That's what Bob means when he says that most people that will be affected by their mantra will have no idea they were affected by it. And that's how this stuff works. That's how it's worked your whole entire life. Most people that were affected by that country song, Achy Breaky Heart, will never know when they heard it or how they heard it. They'll just be singing it in their car one day. Sound is like that. There's been a loophole thrown in this particular struggle simply because it is global, and there's some unknown factors regarding the time frames we're in. And most of this stuff, the conventional scenarios actually can get hung out, generally jump out the window when someone decides to go to war, or there's another scenario involved, and there's several other scenarios involved. And regarding what is going on in the greater on the planet, regarding the economy and the ending of an age, and all the different factors we've went into. But under a normal structure, it goes top down. Under a normal struggle, it goes top down. Once it goes top down, it's over with. The whole thing just starts crumbling in front of everyone's face, and it's already happening. It's already happening anyways. All you have to do is get up and kick this system, and this system just starts crumbling down. But you always kick it with a consistent sound and a consistent message, and it just starts resonating throughout the system. The system can't hold up to a consistent sound, a consistent message. It can hold up to anything else, but it can't hold up to that type of violence. It can't hold up to a sound and a vibration just resonating right through it. It just breaks everything in front of it. But that's how it would go in the next step. And to be honest with you, it could happen at any time. With the war brewing, with our enemy getting ready to commit suicide, at least in whole or in part, I don't know exactly what our... I don't know what form it could take. I don't really know. You're kind of in uncharted territories. But to be quite honest with you, it could happen any time. It could have already happened. It's already been alluded to several times. It's out there enough. It was out there enough in December. As soon as you hit your target audience, if you hit them correctly, you got 90 days, and then 6 months, and then 90 days thereafter. Every 90 days thereafter, things pick up, and we're on schedule. But there has been no top-down. What you see is what you get. I mean, if Jan Brewer came out and did the mantra, it would be obvious to every Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar reader, it would be obvious to all the Foul White Rabbit listeners that this thing is going up another level. However, you could get some amount of sandbagging because we have assets in place. Yes, your side has assets all over the United States government, all over Western civilization. They have assets in place. Some you will know about. Some will be wide sky. They will come out on a consistent message. That's how things work. However, one of the challenges of this, there could be sandbagging into the war. Sandbagging into the war is something that, it's something that certain... It's something that could happen for various different reasons. I don't particularly care for it because I would rather come out. I would rather my listeners have the privilege and the Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar readers to have the privilege to see how this stuff works firsthand from a top-down level, not just at your local convention or your local meetings or even at the dinner table where you're using our stuff day in, day out. But I would like you to have the privilege of seeing it go from top down and to see how this structure just falls apart right in front of your face, how it just caters to you. It's comedy to watch and to have an inside look because most of the people on the planet won't know what's going on, but you will. And I would like for you to have that privilege. So would Bob. However, the scenarios going on are huge, epic, and I don't know the past accurately enough to predict the future. And there are other scenarios involved, so they could sandbag. In other words, assets don't come out on a consistent message because the other side is now committing suicide in a war. Something like that. And yeah, war is suicide for them. War is death. War is ugly. It's nothing anyone wants. I will cover this as I go into, I'm going to talk about how I view movies. I'm going to talk about some movies, some entertaining stuff. And in talking about some of these movies, that's come out over my lifetime, I'm going to talk about how I view them, some movies I like, some movies I'll basically talk about movies I like, basically. I'm not going to talk about anything I dislike. It's very hard for a healthy white rabbit, to find anything in the movies he likes, but I have a sense of humor about it after seeing so many of them, you develop a sense of humor about them. But in doing that, I'm going to do some question and answers about some various different subjects as they are covered in these movies from what you see is what you get point of view and from a wide sky point of view. What you don't see can kill you. But, waiting for the Great White Awakening can be dangerous because white rabbits are not racial. Yeah, and that is racial. And in the next Follow the White Rabbit, I'm going to go back into this, and we're going to go back into some deeper topics because I think it's important. If you understand nothing I've said, it's important to understand this now or 10,000 years from now. You cannot change the race. We are not racial, and that is racial. It takes a whole lot to awaken. In the white nationalist circles and the racialist circles, they always use the term awakening because you have to awaken. If a rabbit has to awaken, you would conclude that they either were asleep before or that they had to be conditioned heavily to awaken. If someone like Dr. Duke has to awaken, what is the average white rabbit? What do you have to go through the average white rabbit for them to awaken? The Scots in the United Kingdom had to have the hell beat out of them for centuries on end to awaken enough to get a Braveheart to lead them to independence. I mean, we have that propensity. This is kind of funny in regards to the immigration stuff, because it's awakening to the federal government is impotent and they're not enforcing the law, so we'll enforce it for them, and it's become kind of comedy. And we'll go back over this. And also my alternative news and research. My alternative news and research listeners, I usually use the term conspiracy rabbits. That's my bias. I'm going to stop using that. I'm going to call them alternative news and research rabbits. Because in reality, the only larger sites on the web than the white racial websites. Yeah, the white racial websites are some of the largest websites in the world. They are the largest websites in the world that aren't making a fortune. The only thing larger are the Rents.coms, the InfoWars. The Rents.coms are just huge, and the Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast is an alternative news and research site. I used to call them conspiracy, but I'm going to change on behalf of my listeners. If they're the biggest websites in the world, and they're the most listened to by white rabbits and looks like everyone else, they're in the top so many thousands consistently, so many handfuls of thousands, which is saying something, then they're just alternative news. It can't be too much of a conspiracy if everyone's reading it. I mean, these things just are dominant. And, of course, Dr. David Duke and some others have made Rents.com their staple features on Rents.com, and these are big, big forums. Anything bigger than the white racial media is huge, because we own the net. So if you're bigger than us, you're doing something correctly. And I've been told that since I am the first of the white racial podcast to go into the alternative, or what I would call conspiracy news, then I might want to call myself a conspiracy rabbit or make up another name. I'll make up another name. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and call them alternative news and research. And that's what it is. They're putting out alternative news and they're putting out alternative research. Now, whether or not you want to listen to it is your business. Most of the white racial listeners don't particularly care for that. However, they're the largest websites on the planet other than ours, and they also make in money. The interesting point would be the Rents.coms are now running David Duke's, and he makes a fortune off that website, so I wonder if he's still making money, making as much money by running the David Duke's. I'm guessing we're so late in the game it may not matter. Usually this type of scenarios coming up are over before they begin. And I don't see anything bad for us, just a lot of discomfort and if you're a soldier in the Middle East or a soldier in Asia, I don't know what to tell you, because those places look like they're going to blow up to me. But we will have some discomfort. I've been asked what I'm preparing for, and you know, every once in a while I have someone that knows me that starts going over these podcasts to see what's going on with this stuff, because this stuff is getting out there. this stuff is really getting out there all across the white world now. And in regards to preparing for this stuff, I every once in a while someone will come across a podcast where I last fall I was going through my little panic mode, and I got some supplies, which the only thing you have to worry about is water and enough food to go for a little bit. I'm not one of these survivalist types, but worried about having fresh water. In fact, I hope I never need my water purifiers, and I hope I never need my canned carrots. Or my MREs I bought. But you can go to any grocery store and get all kinds of bottled water if you're worried about that. That's a last ditch effort. You can also get canned food, you know, if you're worried. I'm not worried about going more than a couple months, a month, or 90 days. I know some that are, but I'm not. I'm not worried about this getting too out of hand. It just could be uncomfortable in some areas, kind of like it is now in the Gulf region where the big oil spill. It could be uncomfortable as this earth goes through these changes, and we, of course, are going to go through changes with it. And that's what I'm concerned about, is 90 days, maybe 6 months at the most. But typically when I'm at the grocery store, I get a couple extra. You don't have to do anything fancy. You don't have to get MREs. I'd mostly be concerned about water, which is kind of common sense. Most white rabbits know that. Water purifiers, the Katadyn filters, the big Berthas. They're not big Berthas, I think they're called. They're not that much money. I think Berka is what those Muslims wear. The Muslim rabbits, yeah. The big Bertha water filters are some type of decent filtration system, or some people build their own. Or some people just buy lots of bottled water. I don't sit here or there off that, but every time you're at the grocery store, you can get a couple cans of, extra cans of like Campbell's Chunky Soup, something with a lot of carbs and a lot of protein in each can. Now, granted, they got a lot of sodium, but at your local Whoop-De-Doo Mart or your local Walmart or Rabbit Mart or whatever you want to call it, or Piggly Wiggly, You can usually catch Campbell's Chunky Soup and that type of thing, or the alternative brands or the low sodium brands or whatever you want on sale. You know, for $1.50 a can, I just picked up some, and a few cans of that, and you can go quite a ways off that. But the big thing is water. I mean, it's nothing. I'm not some big survivalist rabbit, but if the government says you should be prepared to go without us, I'd take them for their word. Most white rabbits do. So, I mean, I don't worry about white rabbits being prepared, because white rabbits, you know, some white rabbits have made their whole entire profession off survival. Yeah, if you go to China, you're not going to have survivalist websites. You're not going to have too many rabbits making a living off selling survival gear. You're not going to have too many rabbits making a living off recommending MREs. If you go to Africa, you won't see any of that stuff at all. If you go to North America, you'll have all kinds of survival websites, free survival newsletters every week, and all kinds of stuff. Why? Because we're good at surviving. So it's not something I worry about, other than getting through 90 days or maybe 6 months. But food is pretty simple. Every time you're at the grocery store, get some extra canned food. It's, you know, whatever's on sale, whatever you like to eat. I think the Campbell's Chunky Soups are pretty tasty myself, especially some, you know, if you're worried about sodium, go low sodium. But if you're starving, I wouldn't worry about that. That's what I would do. I would have extra canned foods around. MREs can be pretty expensive unless you can cut a deal. And of course, if you think the world's coming to an end, you go up and you load up your big rabbit wagon with a bunch of bottled water. You put that, you know, you take out your local Chase Visa, your local Citibank MasterCard, and you max it out on bottled water, and you'll pretty much own the state you're in. But that's pretty much that. As far as natural disasters, I posted something I found interesting. They keep on having these small earthquakes in California. Now, they've always had a lot of small earthquakes in California, and I'm talking the state of California out west. But there's this ring called the Ring of Fire that runs across. It runs in Japan. It runs through Japan. It comes all the way across in a big circle, a big ring, all across the Pacific Ocean. And it comes across off the coast of California. And of course, there's big fault lines in California, and we all know about California was always predicted to go into the sink, and it may someday, I don't know, but they're having all kinds of little earthquakes. Every week they have hundreds upon hundreds of them, 800, 900, 600. And I've been asked before, do I expect big natural disasters? Well, we're at a time when supposedly everything that can go wrong will go wrong. I'm only concerned about it going wrong for our race, and right now I think we're doing okay. You have more upset white rabbits than ever, and that's a good thing. I mean, you're always going to have a percentage that are clueless. Why? Because we're not racial, and that is racial. I mean, if you got to go through an awakening to become racial, that should tell you something. African rabbits do not have to go through an awakening. Yeah, the Mexican rabbits don't have to go through an awakening to know they want to live with white rabbits. White rabbits have to go through an awakening to realize why they want to live with white rabbits. And of course, and that is a story in itself that I'm going to delve into more in the next Follow the White Rabbit. But I would be prepared in your local area. And of course, Most white rabbits have them a local shotgun. You can go to the Whoop-De-Doo Mark and get them for a few dollars. Most of white rabbits have some basic home defense, which is common sense. I see things potentially getting out of hand, but not in the way most people think. And it'll all start with this war. But this war is a game changer. The war is, it changes everything. And when our enemy decided they had to go to war, or they wanted to try to go to war, or they had to give up, who knows, maybe they're sacrificing the Jew rabbits over there in Israel, which is most likely what they're doing. What you see is what you get, Jew rabbits. And when they decide to do that, it's a game changer in regards to any way that a consistent message works in a conventional revolutionary or pre-revolutionary setting. But it still can be used for many different ways. And so until we smell the pink rabbits rotting, until they're rotting to such an extent that the average white racial rabbit realizes that there's more to this stuff than meets the eyes and realizes that they're over with, until they get it, we'll stay on a consistent message. And that'll take a little while longer. Maybe not too long, though. maybe not too long, but we'll stay on a consistent message and we'll keep going through this stuff until we smell the rot. Like I said before, until I smell the rot of the pink rabbits, we'll stay on them. We won't sandbag. Even if some of our wise guy elements of the U.S. government are sandbagging into war for whatever reason, well, we won't sandbag at all. Sandbagging, of course, to the foreign audience is a term we use in America when someone's won something. They're just playing games. You know, if you win something, instead of rubbing it in, you just play games until the clock runs out. That's kind of what sandbagging is. Basically, you know, we may have won something and not realize it until one morning you get up and everything's different on the planet, and then you realize it. You know, everything on this planet gets blown up by the white rabbits, and they say, oh, something just happened. But that's typically how that works. And I'll come back over some of these topics and go into deeper subject matters, and probably on a few tangents as we go into the media special. I'm going to talk about some movies. I'm going to talk about the greatest racial wide sky movie of all times. And I'll answer some of those questions that have been coming in. We're going to interrupt this programming to talk about some breaking news events. I had a long podcast planned with a movie special. I was going to go over some different movies and what I think about them. And I'm going to have to move that to another podcast. I'm going to go ahead and put this out because this podcast is going to be called Get Your War On. And I'm going to end it and put some question and answers I have on this one. From 4243 and the Jews. About the Jews, but Iran is now coming into the Israeli Palestinian deal, and they're going to do so. Who knows what's going to happen? But they're coming in with the Turkish flotilla, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and so it looks like this may be the rolling start. In fact, it most likely is, and most likely this was planned long ago. But the Israelis did not make a mistake. That was very intentional, and what the Iranians are doing, getting involved, will be intentional, and who knows what happens after this. The Guardian newspaper, and this gentleman, Ken O'Keefe. Ken O'Keefe is an Irish-American, and he was also a citizen of Ireland, and believe it or not, a citizen of Palestine. I don't know how he pulled that off, but citizen of Palestine. He tried to break through he was one of the ones the Israelis roughed up. And his side of the story is a lot different than anyone else's, than what the Israelis are saying. And of course, we have the Britain's Guardian newspaper talking about the autopsies show headshots. 9 Turkish activists killed in Israeli raid on Gaza-bound ship, including one with U.S. citizenship, were shot a total of 30 times, and 5 died of gunshot wounds to the head. Israel has said its troops wearing helmets, body armor, and carrying pistols and rifles use lethal force in self-defense. And of course, this is the rolling start. I'd be amazed if they went at it in the next week or so, but this is the rolling start that is actually coming right in front of everyone's head, right in front of everyone's face, basically. I can't imagine it's going to happen before July simply because of the different assets that aren't in place yet, but I have no idea. For all I know, it could be happening by the time I put out this MP3, this podcast. But we're at the beginning of what is a pretty visual rolling start. You should see everything picking up. Now, as far as when the fur's going to fly, when they're really going to go at it, when they're going to start dropping big bombs and all that, I'm guessing July, but I don't know. Israel is going to pick a fight, and there's a lot of different groups that want to fight them. So, and of course we've got a huge military there, which is probably already told Israel, someone at the top of America, Anglo-America, and Anglosphere told the Israelis to pick a fight. And that's their job. Their job is always to instigate. Their job is always cause problems. Their job is to get the ball rolling, to kill the czar. That's what they do. It's their job. And they've been ordered into war. They didn't do it willy-nilly. It's what they do. Now, whether or not this will actually get the show going, or it'll be going in the next week or so, in other words, big bombs going off and this huge event, I don't think so. But this will be the actual start, and things will start picking up from here visually. You're going to be visually seeing things, like Israeli killing peace activists and stuff like that, you know. Now, what will happen with the Iranian ship coming in there? Who in the hell knows? Israel may do something crazy to that, and it may be a declaration of war. Under international law, Iran might get something like that. But I expected Israel to start this, and it looks like that's what they're doing. Like I said, I don't have a timeline, other than there's going to be a tremendous number of assets in place right around the beginning of July. I can't imagine them doing anything before then, but I don't like predicting you rabbit behaviors. They're pretty nuts. And so they're getting their war on. And this piece is going to be cut short because of that, and I'm going to throw in some question and answer stuff. Along beside this, but the war is officially rolling to a start. It was most likely rolling to a start officially last fall, but now the whole world's going to see this where things go. And as far as North Korea and all that, I don't know when, how, or exactly what the situation is there or how that'll get going, but I have a feeling that's going to get going too, and probably something around Pakistan, that whole entire area. They all want to go at it, so let them go at it. It's tragic that our soldiers have to be there too. And of course, there were 5 earthquakes that shook up thousands of people in LA and Big Bear regions this week. Pretty big earthquakes. Earthquakes there are getting, instead of having hundreds and hundreds of little ones, they had a few big ones. A 3.6, a 3.2, that's getting up there. None of these little 1.6s, 1.4s. Had some killer tornadoes across the Midwest. And we got the British Petroleum spill, which is an epic disaster, and someone's going to use that for something. Not necessarily our enemy, though. So we'll just have to keep the powder dry, and I'll keep walking you through this as time permits. I'm going to go ahead and get out this MP3 a little bit ahead of time and not put on the movie special simply because it's not complete, and I can always kick out another one in a couple days or something when I complete it. But I'm going to get, I've been getting tons and tons of email asking me if the war started, so I figured I'd go ahead and kick this out, what I've said thus far. And after this will be some questions and answers. But I would expect this to be the official rolling start. Now, how long it's going to roll for? A month. I would expect at least a month. Some different UN-type stuff, but I have no idea. I have no idea. It's not if, but when. And you'll know it, I'll know it, and the whole planet will know it. To answer some of the questions I've been getting, what do I think about chemtrails? Well, chemtrails are planes spraying something we don't really know in the air. The only thing I can tell you is different groups are prepping the runway for these big events, and they've been prepping them for a long time. And I'm certain other groups are trying to use it to kill us or something. But I don't fully know what they are, but there's a lot of stuff going on up there. And there could be different groups doing different things. Some good for us, some probably not so good for us. And to answer the next question I got, I get asked a lot of questions about the Jew rabbits. Are they a race, or what do I think about that? They want me to throw my hat into the ring, since I throw my hat in the ring on everything else. And the best question I got asked was, I'll answer it like this. Someone had read everything Bob wrote about the Jews. And Bob believes, or Bob knows to be true, that they're a group that's basically bred up. They got some common ancestry. But about 2,000 years ago, 2,300 years ago, there was no Jews in a modern sense of the word. The religion was Talmudism, and is a Babylonian mystery religion. And, of course, the question is, if they are the little kid in the back of the class that won't get along, and you could only be a Protestant or a Catholic, but you could always be a Jew, let's say they are a group that got going a couple thousand years ago, and that most of what we think of as Jews went the way of the dodo or went to something, some other religion, or went into Christianity, as Bob's thesis. Who got the ball rolling? Well, that's a good question, and what I know to be true is that, there's two sides to
two sides of Western civilization. There's what you see is what you get in Wide Sky. And the Jew rabbits, like the ape foxy foxmas, are what you see is what you get. Israel, the stuff Israel does is what you see is what you get. It always has been. It has been for a long, long time. The formation of Israel made it apparent to the planet. I'm going to repeat. The formation of Israel made it apparent to the planet. It was apparent to many Western philosophers going way, way, philosophers and statesmen going way, way back, but without them forming Israel. But there's another portion. There's also another portion of what you see is what you get. And they are the group that I know had something to do with getting the ball rolling. And they're considered the Black Nobility. The Black Nobility, the Black Venetian banking clans are all connected. And these are banking. There's two families I know to be involved in these groups, and that's the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. Their big claim to fame, of course, was Oliver Cromwell financing him and coming into the British Isles and British colonialism, which was a huge boon to them. And, of course, taking over America, taking back America after the American Revolution and the Civil War and the things that have happened since then, especially the American Federal Reserve System. The U.S. Federal Reserve System. I know them to be involved. Now, as far as who's behind them, well, there are groups tied to European royalty. I mean actual European royalty, royal families that are tied to them. And they're all part of one big team, basically. And they have their version of New World Order that's been reworked dozens and dozens of times. And they have followers and hangers-on and associates and everything else, but there are Wide Sky elements. So the Pink Rabbit Banksters and Leasters, I can tell you, Rockefeller and Rothschilds are two of them. But there's others involved too, the Black Nobility or Europeans. And how they came in Alexander the Great. I got an official source for this now. Dr. Farrell, I'll do a quick sound where this stuff is coming from. Dr. Farrell has put it in writing, and in Banksters from Here to Babylon, he talks about how they got their start, or what we know. There are quite a bit of unknowns, but how they came into Western civilization. And, of course, he's quoting Roman historians. He's also quoting a book from 1916, and I'll read this to you in one of the different segments. Not this segment, but one of the upcoming ones. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about the banking class again. Pink Rabbit Banksters and Leasters and what's coming out on them. But basically, since Dr. Farrell had his small coming out party, he talked on the latest Coast to Coast interview. And Coast to Coast is a huge, huge, one of the largest websites, alternative news and research sites in the history of the world. And he said on the interview that when asked how America would work in the future, he said America was founded under Anglo-Saxon auspices, basically under the cultural traditions, in other words, racial traditions, and with the symbols and Germanic heritage, and for it to continue, it has to maintain that culture. It can't work any other way. And in celebration of that, I'll read to you from Banksters and Babylons in one of the future file of the White Rabbits, one of the upcoming ones. But basically, what he talks about is how they come into Europe, and what we know to be true. In the last episode, how they formulated the big three religions. The last one, Islam, has got them in trouble. But Christianity and modern-day Christianity and modern-day Judaism, how they came into fruition. But basically, Alexander the Great conquered most of the known world at the time. He conquered Persia, ancient Babylon, and he conquered Egypt. And in conquering that, he gave a lot of people Greek names, and Greek became a language much the same as English has become modern day. A lot of people in the world speak modern day English. That doesn't mean they're English, and it doesn't mean they're American. In America, we don't speak the American language, we speak the English language. It's a pretty big international language. Well, Greek was like that at one time. And a lot of people had Greek names. Just like right now, if you see an African in South Africa or Nigeria or somewhere like that, he could very well, or Zimbabwe, he could very well have an English-sounding name common names like Thomas Wilkes or something. Some of these black South Africaners, or you get the picture. It was very international to have a Greek name. It was very international to speak the Greek language. A lot of parties did it. And so as Greek went under, as ancient Greece went under, then of course Rome started coming up. And eventually, of course, Dr. Farrell in his book Banksters from Here to Babylon talks about the racial makeup of Rome when the banksters had power over Rome. That 90% of Rome was non-Roman, was all these dubious Greek names that weren't Greek. and how the place went under, and he talks about the how they got their foot in the door. But anyhow, they came in, and Greeks were pretty readily accepted in Rome and hijacked the place somehow. And most of the Roman stock, of course, there's founding stock, either had left or was only very few and far between, or had died in wars. You know, they had all these wars and everything else, but they had taken over the Senate, and they ran their game. They ran their game, but he talks about the coming of the Babylonian banking, the coming of the Babylonian mystery religions. And they're, of course, out of Babylon. There's been two questions of history, one in Babylon, what exactly happened there, and one in Egypt. But they're basically out of the Middle East, and they came in under Greek names, and they didn't look like anything like they look like now. Even the royal elements. The royal elements don't consider themselves Europeans. Yeah, they don't consider themselves related to us at all, and that's part of the problem, traditionally. I mean, they might have blonde hair and blue eyes, but they don't consider themselves us. Now, as far as... And of course, that's how the black nobility, the Venetian banking clans, got going. They got going in ancient Greece, and they've been running their game a long time with private central banks. And I will go into this in detail. They loan money into circulation. They run a game basically, and the game they got it down, and it started back in Babylon, in the temples of Babylon. But of course they're not legitimately European. That's why they're called black, black nobility. They consider themselves something else. One of the infamous statements from one of these families is that they always say that they were once Aryan. Now whether they were ancient Aryans, who I don't know what's going on with them, to be honest with you. Something's wrong with the picture that we don't have our finger on. But when you get into, and most of the alternative news and researchers, news and views people would probably enjoy Dr. Kevin McDonald's books, because he takes a scientific inquiry into their behavior as a group. They do have a common ancestry, even like the Afoxy Foxmans in the Eastern Europe. They have some common ancestry. There's some very unusual stuff in their DNA. But to answer the question directly, they got their start under the black nobility, the Venetian banking clans that brought out modern-day Judaism and Christianity. At the time, they started rolling this stuff out, and then later Islam. And of course, this group has been heavily bred up over the years, and is probably smaller now than it was 100 years ago, but we don't really know. We don't really know. I mean, there's some... Just because someone goes to a synagogue or something doesn't mean that they're actually part of their clan. You know, these are groups within groups, is the way I look at it. And there's a lot of stuff that you won't be able to get to the bottom of, but someone has. I can't get to the bottom of, someone has, but I know that what you see is what you get ends. The ones like Afoxy Foxman and the black nobility, but there are others too. And I don't know the fullest extent of the group. But to answer the question succinctly, under 20th century race, if you were to define race in the 20th century, they would not be a race. No, they would not be, because there's Chinese Jews, and anyone could become a Jew. However, what's important to note is what Dr. David Duke talks about and several others, that they say they are. They say they have a little gene that makes them distinct from their God. And there is something to be say. I mean, if you have a nice white rabbit who has babies with a Jewish girl, they usually tend out to be just like her. I mean, they came into European royalty in a handful of different royal families, married Jewish girls to get the money, or for whatever reason, maybe they were good looking. And those families have the likes and tastes of the Jews from that day forward. So there's something too when they talk about their genetic female lineage. What else could I say about it? However, under 20th century racial rules, you would not define them as a race other than what they say. They have the little gene that comes from their God or something along those lines. Under 21st century, which will include consciousness, my gut feeling is consciousness, where one little DNA change can resonate at a different frequency, which can, of course, pull in a different soul or pull in a different consciousness. They probably very well would be a race. But most likely, the alternative news and researchers are right. They're a race within a race of some extent. Different bloodlines are very important within that. And they do have a unique genetic structure that holds different from other groups. For instance, if there's a bunch of Jews in China, they'll look Chinese, but they'll be distinct from China. Dr. Kevin McDonald has talked about this. So there are some mysteries in it. I know what questions to ask. I just don't know the whole score. We're going to find out soon. But there's more to them than meet the eyes. Their motto has always been, by deception we shall wage war. Well, if you wage war by deception, you should never found a country. Israel has been a big problem. A big problem for especially the Anglo-American elites, the Rothschilds, and the Anglo-British elites like the Rockefellers in America and Rothschilds in the UK. But there's more to these guys than meets the eye. That's what you see is what you get. If someone's waging war by deception, there's usually more than one level. It's kind of like an elaborate con. So, you know, Israel's on the eve of going under. You're going to see the what you see is what you get Jews go under. Now, what's going to happen to Rockefeller and Rothschild? I don't know. But there's more of these people, there's more of these groups than meets the eyes, and we will soon find out. But that'll be one of the challenges for many of the white nationalists that think the Jews, that think they have the Jew rabbits all figured out and that know everything about their history and that Abe Foxman and all these groups have been together for thousands of years. They don't know anything about them. We've got their history figured out the past few hundred. In the past few hundred, they've been on a tirade. They are meant with their Talmud and with the way they operate, they are geared for conflict, causing conflict at least. Then personally, they don't fight generally. They're going to have to this time. Yeah, they've got themselves into a brawl now, and they're going to have to fight. But typically they don't fight, but they are conflict-oriented. They are very conflict-oriented. They cause a lot of conflict. And they're also very good at scarcity. They're very good in natural resource competition. They are geared for this age. We aren't. We're geared for another age. We don't do conflict. White rabbits don't do conflict, and we dominate scarcity, which is probably why they want to parasite off us. The dregs of Babylon that came into Rome. If you're going to parasite off someone, you're going to have to be able to produce something. White rabbits produce in abundance. You can't really parasite off Africans. You can steal their resources, I guess, natural resources, but who's going to dig it up? You know. But the groups that have their whole identity tied to the Jew rabbits, they cause a lot of problems, and there's certainly a lot to the problems they cause, and they're definitely important enough for the David Dukes and the Kevin McDonalds to be writing books about their history. But there's a lot of unknowns with them. A lot of unknowns to the extent of the group. And what's going to be critical is when you see them go down, and they're going to go down. What you see is what you get, Jews are going to go down, and what's left. And what comes after that will be interesting, because most of the white nationalists, the average white nationalist is going to be shocked to the floor that they went down. And then it's going to be interesting because, like I said, there's two sides to them. There's what you see is what you get, and Wide Sky. There's more of these characters than meets the eyes. Now, as far as the which side of the Babylonian pantheon they'd be related to, not the same side as us. Yeah, they're on a different spectrum. You've got to talk about they maintained the Hyksos in Egypt maintained that they're the Jew rabbits talk about their God not being in the common pantheons. See, there's a common pantheon all over the world, the winning side of the pantheon. We've talked about this. It doesn't matter whether you're a quasi-codal. It doesn't matter whether you're the Kukulkans in South America. It doesn't matter whether you're the Zeus and Apollos or the Thor and Woden. It doesn't matter whether you're Enlil, Ninurta. There's a common winning side of the pantheon that's known all over the world, the Indras. The Arjuna, if I pronounced it correctly, they're known all over the world, even in Asia. I forget the Asian names for them, but they're known all over the world. They always maintain that their God is not part of the pantheon. Now, of course, most of us assume that they don't have some little God, they're superstitious and it's all make-believe, that they don't have some little gene from their God, but it matters what they believe. And I don't know. I don't know what may come flying out. I don't know. They might have some little bug-eyed devil alien god sitting underneath London, for all I know. It could be Nergal. I have no idea. It could be something allied with Nergal. That's what a lot of alternative news and researchers believe, that something allied with the losing side of the pantheon went out and allied with another outside enemy of the winning side, and that's their god. That's the god of Abe Foxy Foxman. That's old Hashem. I don't know. It doesn't like me, it doesn't like you, and it doesn't like anything on this planet if it's real. And by the way, I hope they do. I hope they do have some bug-eyed little alien god. I hope they do have Nurgal. I hope these guys are real, because I can tell you what's coming for them. What's coming for them will not stop, will not quit, and will be unfathomable to the listeners. Something like that coming to life. But I don't know everything there is to know about it. I can only give you a brief overview, and I will go deeper into the black nobility, the Venetian banking clans, because that's what's immediately right behind them. That's who was at the hest. They are what you see is what you get anymore. They're at the Bilderbergers. All the representatives are there, and they're well known. Now, there is other things behind them. And I don't know who all they're attached to in nobility. They are attached to elements of British nobility. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I mean, someone can issue an order and get those Jews moving this way or that way, or tell them to shut it down. And they have a structure like that. They do what the rabbis tell them to do. But your average, you know, it could very well be your Mike Huckabees as well in their group. I would be surprised if he wasn't. But you get the picture. It's not just your local rabbi. These groups are a little bit different than that. But under 21st century rules, I'm guessing there's some type of race within a race or something like that. They have a different consciousness. They certainly are radically different in likes and dislikes and tastes. And they are also heavily inbred. And in all fairness, they do have a common ancestry. Someone came in and got the ball rolling. Got the ball rolling with this group, and that can mean a lot of different things. But that's about as best I can do. As far as whether they're a race or whether they're not a race, it depends whether you take 20th century concepts or 21st centuries. I'm remaining agnostic right now. I used to be 20th century concepts, no, because there's Chinese Jews and everything else. It can't be a race. Under 21st century and some of the stuff coming out, they will be. They would be. But I don't understand enough about consciousness, so I guess you could say I'm agnostic on the issue. But you're right, someone did get the ball rolling. They're not what they appear to be, but yet there's a lot to them. And they cause a lot of problems, especially for their masters. But they're not, in other words, I don't think when Israel goes down and it's on the eve of going down, the what you see is what you get, Jew rabbits go down, I don't think that's going to be over. Although maybe it will be. But I don't think I don't think we know everything there is to know about these guys, about these characters, what they're up to, or what's really going on. As far as the Talmud, the questions about the Talmud, a third of the Talmud has, you know, anyone can read it, is pretty benign. A third of the Talmud is pretty much morals to the story. This is the way I think about it. I'm no expert on them. You would have to get Dr. Duke's book, one of the David Duke books, or look around on the website. There's all kinds of stuff out on the Jew rabbits and the Talmud. And a third of it is pretty benign. A third of it is all kinds of weird stuff. And it's basically the morals to the story and all kinds of, some even perverted stuff. Morals of the story in regarding the Old Testament, the Torah. You know, what it's trying to tell them. Their interpretation of what it's trying to tell them and how they read it. And a third of it has probably never been read. There's stuff in the Talmud, different variations of the Talmud, supposedly, that even rabbis aren't allowed to read. The alternative news and researchers, they call it, what I used to call the conspiracy rabbits, are now officially alternative news and researchers. They call it the Book of the Fallen Angels. They believe it's an alien guidebook or something like that. And it may be. I don't know. I have no idea. There's a lot of, obviously, if you have a book that the whole thing's never been read, and there's a lot of unknowns to it, well, there you go. They're definitely quite the story when it comes to the white nationalist circles. But as far as whether or not they're a race, whether I believe it one way or another, I'm agnostic right now. I'm agnostic. Under 20th century terms, under 20th century definitions of race, they wouldn't be. Under 21st centuries, they definitely could be. They believe they are. They believe they have a little gene that makes them special. And if you have babies with one of the females, now that of course is a random sampling, but the vast majority of their females tend to carry on their traits pretty well in a dominant feature. In other words, they go in and have babies in a Chinese with a Chinese man, and the babies are pretty much going to act. act Jewish, or so they believe. If they go and have babies with an African, the babies are going to, by and large, act and feel Jewish. They believe that. And also, there's another mentality, too, that converts can come into, and I call it the consensus trance, or the bunker mentality, some call it. You know, they come in and they become Jews, and they become more Jewish than the Jews. They take on the, they take on their traits. You know, they sit in the synagogue every Saturday and think the world's out to get them. Then they come in and everyone's surprised when the world's out to get them. You get what you reap, what you sow. You get what you put out. But there certainly is a certain mentality that can be taken on, a mindset. And their mindset, their Talmud, everything is geared toward conflict and scarcity. Being dominant in resource competition and causing conflict. Let's see what else I can talk about. But I will come back to this again with the Black Nobility and the Venetian banking clans, because they're the ones that started what you think of as modern-day Judaism, and they came out of Talmudism. They came out of the Babylonian mystery religions. And they also, many believe they were responsible for the test runs of the different Babylonian mystery religions in the Rome. The famous Mithras religion had something to do with some of the Babylonian, the Venetian banking clans. I don't know that, though. But there were various different Babylonian mystery religions that popped up in Rome. And they, of course, called Babylonian mystery religions and Babylonian banking because they come from a Babylon. And what else could I say? I was asked about the Denver airport from an alternative news and research listener. The Denver airport, have I seen the murals and what do I think about them? Yes, I've seen the murals. And at first glimpse, you would think they're pretty wild looking. The craziest thing about Denver airport, if any of you haven't seen it, is this gigantic blue horse with the red glowing eyes on the outside of the airport. I don't know whether it's one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse or whatever. They also have one of the Egyptian gods. It's a huge statue of Egyptian god going up there too. But they have this horse at the outset of Denver Airport. This bluish purple horse. It's pretty wild looking, and it's got red glowing eyes. There's a lot of crazy stuff at the Denver Airport. If you've ever been there, you can look it up. You can Google Denver murals, Denver blue horse. And you can look at the murals, but the murals are basically, to me, is a death and resurrection of a world. You know, it's about a world that dies and a world that being reborn. And in the picture, of course, the spotlight's on little German with the hammer of Thor, and he's beating swords in the plowshares. And of course, it has the big bird, Quetzalcoatl. And Quetzalcoatl, you're dealing with, who are you dealing with? Well, you're dealing with Enel. You're dealing with Zeus. You're dealing with the Lord of Heavens. And I hope it comes true. But all it's showing is a Masonic. It is a Masonic banner. It's a Masonic, to some extent. It is done by one of the Masonic groups, not Jewish. Masonic, that's not necessarily the same thing, although it can be some days. It shows some pretty interesting things. And it just shows a death of a world and a birth of a new world. And that's what we're going through. The world is dying, and a new world will be born. But the hammer of Thor is visible with the little Germans, and the Quetzalcoatl. The Quetzalcoatl, who of course is a Mexican deity, and this would be the obviously the winning side of the pantheon. Whether or not you'll see Quetzalcoatl, I don't know. But that's really all I see in it, and a lot of people. Talk about the death of the little girl's holding her Bible and she's dead and she has the Star of Zion. Well, these religions are going to be reconciled. They're going to be reconciled, and the previous reconciliation of Pisces is what should happen at the end of an age. You're going to reconcile so you can move forward. How that comes about, I don't know. I was just throwing my hat into the ring. Someone asked if I really think something like that is going to happen. If you get the final solution with no air pollution, Jesus. Well, I don't know. I would expect to see something that wild if the Nazis did what they said they were going to do. If there's smoke behind this stuff, there's obviously something. They've done something. You'd have to be a fool not to think they did something. They got a hold of something. You know, I don't believe in that many coincidences. This group cannot die, so they've done something. And I would expect to see something along those lines. I know enough about our enemy's New World Order to know what the direct opposite would be. Our enemy would not do anything regarding anything Jesus. You know, they'd probably bring out their little alien god if there is such a thing. And they, you know, well, you know, religion's a big knockoff and there's no Jesus, yada, yada, yada. Whereas the other side of the equation would do the direct opposite. They would reconcile and try to help you out, try to help out everyone, you know, at least give you a chance to get your mind straight before they move forward. But the Pink Rabbit Banksters and Elisers, their New World Order, always involves White Rabbit genocide and always involves as much pain and terror as possible, especially for White Rabbits. So the other side would be somewhere, probably the direct opposite. But there's going to be massive changes on this planet, and you can see it coming, whether anyone likes it or not. It's time of the season. But I don't know what the odds of something like that are happening. We'll know soon enough. I'm just throwing my hat in the ring on the widest media spectrum known to man, the World Wide Web on an MP3, on what I expect to see to happen and what they did and my particular opinions on it. I expect to see this reconciled. I expect to see them come out with it, right? I expect to see something mind-numbing like that. Jesus is not something the Jews would want to meet, or what's going to be left of them after this war. It might not be a whole lot left for them, but he would come out and probably blame them for everything, and, well, we'll see soon enough. I mean, I'm on record, so there you go. I always get asked, what do I expect to see if they did what everyone thinks they did? I mean, this is what they were trying to do. And I'm sorry, these guys, the Nazi rabbits, were someone that said they were going to do something, and they usually did it. Hitler was known for that. But I don't really know what to say other than to go on the line and tell you that I expect to see something that wild. And we'll know soon enough. All I could tell you in the end is that there's more to this stuff than meets the eye, and I don't know the whole story. I can only go in a direction. I know kind of what I need to know as what I call myself a skeptic, in case all hell breaks loose. The challenge is that I do not like to predict White Rabbit behavior, because it can't be done. It cannot be done. In the end of the day, I think we're all going to find that out. That usually what we end up doing is so mind-numbingly ridiculous that no one would ever think of such a thing, except a White Rabbit. And maybe that'll be, if I ever wrote a book, it'd be about crazy things White Rabbits do. We take it for granted. Most of the world is usually shaken to their core when we do something, because it changes everything. It changes the whole entire dynamics. And in a media special, I don't know if the media special will be on this MP3 or another MP3, but I'm going to do a special on the movies. And I'm going to talk about some of this stuff, some of the different themes I made in the movies. And I'm going to talk about movie cameras and how the movie camera invention came about. It's a very odd thing. We do some very ridiculous things and get away with it. No one under natural law, no one should get away with such acts in nature. We do it. We do very risky behavior, and it is normal to us. It is not normal in the animal kingdom. And let's see any other questions I have here, if that's going to be a wrap-up on this one. Hopefully I answered all yours about the Jews, because there's some unknowns and there's knowns. The Dr. David Dukes and the Kevin McDonalds, will talk about their success over the last few hundred years. And certainly on the Average White Nationalist Board, you will find out they've been very, very successful over the past few hundred years, especially British colonialism, especially the Federal Reserve Bank. They're what you see is what you get. Very, very successful. They're the Jew rabbit groups like the Foxy Foxmans and the media titans in Anglo-America, as well as the bankers, the banksters at Goldman Sachs. And of course they are geared for that. They've had a lot of success in Western civilization. A lot of other people were very, very successful in Western civilization too. But things usually run their course. The challenge for those that think they're invincible is, well, they're not. They're not invincible. You're on the eve of watching them go under. Now what's behind them? What all is in this black nobility? The Venetian banking clans and all that kind of stuff, and their true history in Babylon, the history between Babylon and Egypt, and how they came to power there, and all the stuff going on. I'm not quite certain, but we'll find out. One thing I do know for certain is that the type of success they've had over the last few hundred years, they in no way, shape, manner, or form should not have their New World Order. They should have had their New World Order in the 60s or the 70s. In the 60s, they had an enormous amount of power. And right after World War II, they had an outrageous amount of power. From World War II to the 60s, they had an outrageous amount of power, at least visually. What you see is what you get. Amazing amount of power. They should have had their New World Order. They don't. They don't have their New World Order, do they? So something went wrong. Something happened, especially coming out of World War II, because nothing really makes sense. There's nothing in their history, their success over the last few hundred years, especially if you read it. It reads almost mythical, especially the white nationalists, the Jew rabbits and their success is just mythical. They're successful parasites. Yeah, that's what they are. The pink rabbit banksters and leasers are just parasites. And a lot of people are successful on white rabbits. You know, all the little black rabbits, they talk about how successful they are in all white schools. They're not successful in African schools, though. But anyways, the only thing we know is that we have the whole top of the planet, and I don't have a home. I have all this land, Australia, all this land, but we don't have a home, and there's a group trying to kill us, and the little Jew rabbits are definitely out in front, way out in front. Post-World War II, it's not even a close call. They would have no reason to try to kill white rabbits in America, but they found reason. And there's no reason they shouldn't have their New World Order. There's no rational reason, based on their success over the past few hundred years, what we know about this group and their success rate, that they shouldn't have the whole world in an oyster. But they don't. They don't. They're at a very high visual position, and very vulnerable. The question remains is what's behind them. Once they go, what comes next? And what exactly are we going to see right after this war? And that I don't know. I can only speculate. But the good news is I'm speculating right in front of these events. So it is what it is. But I think there's more to this stuff than meets the eye, and there's more to them than meets the eye. There's a part you see, and there's a part we probably don't know enough about. And it's all relevant for discussion. But we'll be seeing shortly. This is the end of 44, and I had to cut 44 off a little early, I guess, and not put in the movie special, and I'll move that to another MP3 because it's not quite done, and I wanted to get this out. And I included a Q&A about the Jew rabbits and some other questions I got asked post 42, and this one's going to be titled "Get Your War On," and it looks, for all practical purposes, that we're rolling into war, that the world of war has started, started in plain sight for everyone to see. And I'll be back with you on 45, and I would like to go back into some white rabbit behavior. I've done some stuff on that again, and also talk about Dr. Farrell's book, From Banksters From Here to Babylon, since he came out as close as you can come out to saying America should remain a European country for it to still be viable, which is kind of common sense. So I was going to read from his book, Banksters from Here to Babylon, because he dabbles in race. He talks about the racial transformation of Rome, which is pretty interesting. He's becoming more and more clear as time goes on, as the pink rabbit banksters and elitesters come closer to their fate on this planet. But we'll keep going on, and I'll keep going back over a consistent message and work in all this other stuff as well. And also, I have a movie special. I have a movie special coming up. I don't know when that'll be done, but we'll see. I'll be back with you on 45. We are now at the end of another episode of Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. And this podcast is, of course, all as always, dedicated to practical politics. But I'd like to take this time to thank you for tuning in to another episode. On behalf of the indigenous white rabbits of Europe, it is yours truly, Horus the Avenger. And I'll be back with you in another episode in the near future. Until then, thank you for listening.